This is the K-Pop Cast, and in this episode, we talk about Bobby's F-bomb laced comeback, scandalous innuendo from Young Posse Epic High, and Card Big Matthew and Woosung flirting on social media, and also our takes on this year's MAMA nominees. This week, we welcome back to the show Syed from Genius Korea. Hey, welcome back.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on the K-Pop Cast. I'm Syed. I'm the founder of Genius Korea, which is a community-led initiative on the lyric website Genius. It's the big yellow one you might have seen on the internet. We focus on transcribing and translating your favorite Korean songs. And I'm really excited to talk about everything today.
Yeah, Syed is not only a genius translation expert. He just keeps up with all things K-pop and always has like really insightful and like snarky fun things to say about what's going on in the scene.
Thank you.
So we love his takes so much that we have invited him on back to back to back the last three episodes this month. You're basically part of the K-pop cast team at this point.
I'm the honorary member.
You really are. So everyone, go back, check out our episode about Icon, and then we had an episode with Teresa before that. So just like get your fill of Syed's takes. It's really a treat.
But before we get into the topics of this episode, guys, don't forget to join the K-Pop Cast listener fam on Slack. The link to the space is in the episode description.
And now for Hit Replays. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Syed.
And I'm your PD name, Michaela. And Hit Replays are what we call K-pop songs you guys should totally check out each week. So kick us off, Stephanie. What is your hit replay for this week?
My hit replay is Doshi, My Bad, or Goom. Now, this song just lets me melt into my seat and into a pool of tears in the bathtub. I'll tell you more about it after the clip. I've been following them for a little while now. They are an R&B duo comprised of Choi Jung-hyuk and Jeon Ji-hae, male and female duo. Their music is basically R&B, a little bit of city pop. It has that dreamy, hazy, cloudy vibe to it. And it just makes you want to hop in the car, take a cruise, going nowhere, or just, you know, lean back into your sorrows. Like this song in particular, Goom, or My Bad, basically talks about feeling like everybody hates you, basically because one person is upset with you. And what you would want more than anything in the world is to just hold that person and escape those feelings, even if it feels awkward to be with them at the moment. Even though you've made them upset, you've done something wrong. You know, the name of the song is My Bad. And what I really love about this is the blue notes in the song, the harmonies and that dreamy instrumentation just like can really tug at the heartstrings. If you're feeling something, if you're feeling like you messed up and you're just wallowing in it, like this is a song for you. Speaking from experience, I might be in that situation right now. but this one just spoke to me. And it has an understated beauty to it.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephanie. I have another addition to my K-pop for crying into my pillow.
I know, right? Yeah, I thought of Michaela. Sad girl era K-pop.
And it's fall. Like we're ending October, getting into winter soon. Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Add it to the playlist.
It's perfect for like rainy days. When you're not looking for the sunshine, you just want to sit in the gloom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's perfect for that. And I agree with the dream pop elements of almost like, it's also rock. It's mm-hmm. not just mm-hmm. pop.
Yes.
It has those instrumentals in it. And yeah.
The guitar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps the overall vibe of the song. I agree. Mm-hmm.
I saw on their Namu Wiki that they kind of got popular off of like SoundCloud.
Oh, which, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes 100%. I feel like a lot of the sad people on SoundCloud get really popular.
Yeah.
So, Syed, what is your hit replay for this week?
So, my hit replay for this week is a song by the Queen Bees of K-pop, I guess call them.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah, yeah.
It is IVE and their latest title track called Batty. I'm a baddie, 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 pretty little risky baddie, more than dirt, 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 I catch me if you can. Baddie, 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 up the top, naked and matchy, got boom, not out of tanny, catch me if you can. I'm a baddie, 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 all the goody, baby, got me more than dirt, 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 I catch me if you can. Baddie, 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 not enough, so go get in me, I'll check you, we'll charge it, tanny, catch me if you can. So, for people who don't know IVE, they are a 6-member girl group from Starship Entertainment. They debuted late 2021,
right.
Early 2022, and they quickly became one of the most popular girl groups in K-pop. Their second single, Love Dive, which was extremely popular, it won Song of the Year award at every Korean award show imaginable.
Yes.
Including the MAMA Awards. And this spring, they came back
with
their
first... That's big, because BTS wins everything,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And BTS was sweeping in everything else, but Love Dive prevailed in Song of the Year category. And this year, they came back with their song called I Am earlier this year from their first studio album. And now they're back with their first EP called IVE Mine, and has 3 title tracks. And Batty is... the latest one.
I've mind. I see what they did there.
Yeah. I think it's a series of albums that they're going to release like that. Because the first one was called IVE. And the second one is IVE Mine. And then I don't know what the third one is going to be.
another
IVE
pun.
IVE Mine. Yeah.
But yeah. And this one is a lot more mellower compared to their... other tire tracks. They have more explosive chorus and more big production on their songs, especially for their tire tracks. But this EP as a whole is very subdued compared to everything else that they've put out, which I enjoyed this time, because I just feel like when K-pop groups like get stuck in one sound, it gets repetitive at some point and boring a little bit as well. So they tried something different with Batty, and even though it's a bit mellow, it still has a really catchy hook. It has it also has like lots of witty and catchy lyrics that you can use for Instagram captions and like TikTok stuff and things like that. I really liked that it's also like almost like a girl crush concept.
Oh, yeah.
Which is similar to what ITZY does or aespa does. There's a little bit towards the end of the song, which is literally so familiar, so similar to aespa's like songs like Savage and Girls.
Oh, right. Yeah.
With the electronic interlude.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a different sound for them, but it's a good direction. It's not a downfall.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love the production in the sense of like, it's really just Ivis Cats is the concept, right?
Oh,
just
yes,
like
the music video.
Hella cats everywhere.
Yes, the music video.
Like we're all cat people on this call, by the way, right?
Yeah.
I've got my 2 cats jumping around. Michaela's got cats. Syed will have a cat eventually.
In the future.
Yeah. Yeah, the music video, yeah, as you said, it has cats everywhere, giant cats, small cats, all sorts of cats. It was interesting because like the song is very much like, I'm a baddie and like, catch me if you can. But the music video is surprisingly soft. And so it almost makes the song sultry instead of, you know, like a hard-hitting aggressive girl crush style. So, yeah, that was interesting.
Like how cats do. Like, they want you to come to them. They're just going to stare at you.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not quite so savage.
But you know who is savage? Oh. My hit replay for this.
Sorry.
That was a really good transition.
So my hit replay for this week, guys, is Bobby's latest EP. Well, mini album, not an EP. Technically, it's a mini album. And the song from that, that is...
Hold up. Technical question.
Hold on.
What's the difference between EP and mini album?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Okay.
Somebody.
My definition from limited research, I say an EP is generally like technically one or two songs versus a mini album, which is like anywhere between like 4 to 5 songs.
Are we sure about that?
Because like generally like an EP is like it's technically one song, but sometimes artists will tack on like a few other songs to the EP.
Okay.
Right?
I feel like in K-pop realm, where we have like all sorts of different definitions, I think mini album and EPs are like equivalent to each other. Because we go from single albums, which is single and a B-side, then we do mini album, which is typically like 4 to 5 songs, and then a full-length album, where the limit is if it's more than 7, then it's a full-length album, which is why Blackpink has been releasing. It has 2 studio albums under their belt. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is... my replay is the song Hercules from Bobby's alleged debut first mini album, Robert. I'm feeling like Hercules.
Robert.
Yeah, so Bobby, aka Bob, aka Roberto, aka Robert.
Roberto.
we've talked about him. Like, he needs no introduction. Like, he's amazing rapper, singer, songwriter, member of Icon, currently under 143 Entertainment, and is mostly known, especially in Korea, as like getting his star from winning Show Me the Money 3. Like that, that's kind of like the beginning of his like his cred as a rapper, producer, star in the scene, in the music in Korea. But this song also features Just This, who is also a Show Me the Money alum, technically as a producer, but he was formerly under Indigo Music, currently under Groovin', Robbie's label. And he's, like, again, one of those rapper producers who's worked on a lot of songs and featured on a lot of songs that have been, like, really popular hits. Like, the last one from, I believe, like 2020 was VVS, which was, like, a really popular song with produced by Grooving Room.
I think that went number one in Korea.
Yeah, it was, like, his... I think it's his first and so far only number one. But he has a lot of other, like, really popular features. Like, last... I know you, Stephanie, like, one of my favorites was Take It, featuring Mush Venom.
Oh, yeah, I loved that. That was one of my songs of the year.
Yeah, so we've just got, like, two big titan charismatic rappers on this song, and you really feel Just This like matching Bobby's like growl energy throughout the whole thing, which is why I think it's my hit replay. Though the whole EP Robert has really been my hit replay. Like, this one though is like stands alone as like it's like, again, the one that I keep coming back to the most, but also like it has a lot of like the innuendo and the shadiness and undertones of like the meanings of his lyrics that you get with all the other songs, which First of all, I shout out to Ashley, who did like a whole Instagram live breaking down like the lyrics and some of the meanings behind the whole all four songs. But for this one, the part that I love the most is like his concept of like, I'm Hercules, I'm so strong. And all the people, all the haters who thought like my life was going to crumble because of, you know, me getting married and having a kid and leaving a label, like I've come out even stronger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ashley's breakdown of this EP was really good. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're looking for like the deeper meaning behind the song, I thought that she did a really good job of it, especially the part about just the fact that people doubting the fact that they're going to leave YG or leave mm-hmm. their, you know, the label that propelled them into stardom and still be able to, you know, be a successful artist. So, yeah, he does a lot of clapbacks.
Yes. And a lot of just like blatant swearing, which for me, like coming off of the Lucky Man album is just like so satisfying to actually hear him curse after yes. all these years of being censored.
Yo, and just like that was going to be my yes. one comment. Like mm-hmm. whenever like I hear him say like, I'm going to freak you up.
Right?
Don't you ever test me. It makes me want to turn it off. I'm like, Bobby,
that is,
but this one, yeah, it was a direct response to that line and how all of us fans felt about that. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's something interesting because whenever we get like Lucky Man, for example, like that song, that album is available on South Korean music platforms and it's not age restricted, even though it is an aggressive album.
Yes.
But yeah. Robert is rated 19 plus and it's completely restricted on all platforms. You cannot stream it if you are underage. You cannot view the lyrics. You cannot like listen to snippets, nothing. And yeah, I mean, like the lyrics, for example, for this song are only available on Apple Music other than Genius. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, we should mention the title track F. Literally, he drops the F-bomb at least like 100 times.
Like we know you have it in you, Bobby. You must be restricted from above. That must be what's happening.
Yeah. And that feeds into this whole idea of like what I think the whole concept of like why this EP one is so short. Like there's only this mini album is so short and it's only four songs. Like it feels like a bunch of the music that he couldn't do while he was at YG. And for some people they it feels a little dated because it feels like the kind of stuff that like, you know, teenage 20 early 20s year old Bobby would be talking about. Like he has like Show Me the Money alums on this, like, and that feeds back to like old beef and like old issues that he's had in the past, especially after being on that show. But I don't know. It feels like this is his like last moment of like to get that all out before, you know, maybe he goes into the military and then he comes back as like, hey, I got a kid, Bobby. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's also like interesting to see the lyrics are very much directed at someone. It feels like he
yes.
is saying these things to someone. And my theory is that it's like a music executive, mm-hmm. like either at YG or somewhere else. It feels very directed at someone. And in the similar vein, we recently had DPR Live, who left.
Yep.
Who is on hiatus, I guess, from the DPR label.
Yeah.
And he just came up with a song called Till I Live. And that one is also it feels very directed at someone. Like he's taking jabs at someone who did him wrong. Yeah. And so I'm just like, okay, all these rappers coming out.
Let me get my popcorn. Let me find out.
And people are like, don't speculate. I'm like, no, I'm too nosy to not speculate.
Oh, come on. That's what we do over here.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless they specifically by name call out the person, we just have to guess.
Yeah.
We're left with no choice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. Did we have anything else that we want?
No.
I'm done.
Yeah.
No, great choice. Good.
Okay, cool. So again, let's move on then to our how you thing, hot issues of the week, other stuff that we wanted to talk about outside of just single releases. So Syed, I know this is a topic that you really wanted to talk about. So this week we got the official list of MAMA 2023 award nominees. Yeah. So your thoughts, what are your feelings with this list?
Yeah, so MAMA nominations almost every year, they kick off the end of year celebration, I guess you could call it. Mm-hmm. It's the first award that happens. It's the first award that announces its nominees. It's a whole ordeal. Everyone tunes into this. And it's almost become like a annual tradition for me to chime in on the nominees and my thoughts about it. I will say, like, starting off, I feel like this year MAMA did it right. Like,
That's surprising.
A lot of the categories are very solid and very, like, they did a good job of encompassing a lot of the artists. For example, the one that really stood out to me this year was Best Female Solo, which had Jisoo from Blackpink, Jihyo from Twice, Hwasa from Mamamoo, Jeonsomi, Choyena, and Lee Chaeyeon. And they're all really strong contenders. Like, their songs were hits. You know, people knew of the comeback. And it fits in the category that they were nominated for. Similarly, for male artists, we had Jimin, Jungkook, V from BTS. We had Taeyang from Big Bang. We had Lim Young Woong, who scares the crap out of every fandom.
The trot king.
The trot king. We also had Park Jae Jung, who people might not know, but he was really popular in Korea, like domestically.
Right, yeah.
His songs were getting nominated for music shows, and I believe he won a lot of them as well, against really popular idol groups. So it makes sense. Like, a lot of these artists and a lot of these nominees make sense. The one that I have beef with.
But. Where's the
there
but?
Has to be a but here.
The biggest but is the best dance performance by a male group. So we got NCT 127 with Ayo. NCT Dream with Candy, which is a cover.
Technically, yeah.
The H.O.T.
Reimagining.
Reimagining of that. We had Super from 17, S-Class by Stray Kids, Sugar Rush Ride by TXT, In Bloom by Zero Base One. Where the F is 80s?
Yo, seriously. How does NCT get two entries?
Right,
yet one being a
twice.
Cover. Exactly.
Come on, man. Yeah. Bouncy by 80s was so popular this year. It went viral,
right?
Specifically for the choreography. Everyone was doing the conga line. Everyone knew the chorus of, like, that squeaky, high-pitched chorus. And so it's just, like, it's surprising, like, Candy was nominated, which is a cover. And I mean, if you wanted to nominate NCT Dream, I would have gone with, like, ISTJ or Broken Melodies or something like that. But they went with Candy, which is very surprising, and no 80s. And 80s don't make an appearance in the best male group category either.
Yeah. I was just looking. I was like, oh, they're not even there.
Yeah. So it's almost the same list, but with the exception of EXO is there and Treasure is there, which I'm really happy for EXO. They're back. I mean, I don't know. They're back in the roster, but I don't know if they're going to win. Treasure was a wild card. I was not, like, I was surprised to see that Treasure was on this list.
Right.
But yeah, again, no 80s. And then if you scroll through the entire list,
ATEEZ
is not there. They're nominated for something called Worldwide Fan Choice Award, which is
that's not real.
It's, yeah, they're like 10 winners in that category.
Yeah, 10 out of like 30.
Yeah, and they nominated ATEEZ. I mean, they're leading one of the, they're in the top 10 right now in the voting. Mm-hmm. But I'm honestly like, the fandom should boycott this thing. Like, it is absurd. Yeah.
Injustice.
Yeah.
My question, though, for you, Syed, is for the best male artist and best new female artist categories.
Okay.
Who are your picks to win? And then I'll pose this to Stephanie, too, because for best new male artist, we have Boy Jeans, a.k.a. Boy Next Door.
Boy Jeans.
Even, Rise, Psychers, and Zero Base One.
Yeah. This is interesting because last year the female new best new female artist was the category that everyone was looking forward to. This year it's going to be best new male artist.
Yeah.
Because this is a really packed list of
This is hard.
Groups. I low-key want, because everyone knows that it's going to like come down to like Rise versus Zero Base One.
Mm. Oh, really?
I low-key want Zykers to take it. Just to piss
you know they're
off.
Not gonna. I don't even know why they're in here with how ATEEZ is treated.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, if this is about business,
is KQ Entertainment the one beefing with them, or is it specific to ATEEZ? Like, but back to the question. I feel like Zero Base One is the top contender. There are a survival show group. Mnet produced that show.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the most sense that they're going to win. Rise, coming from SM, the slightly NCT-related tangent. They might be a second runner. I feel like they're going to get some sort of prize at the show anyways. And, you know, Mama loves to make up awards when the some sort of fan favorite, something, they will win something.
Okay, so Zero Base One
is my top contender. Okay, right now.
I almost feel like Rise is gonna come out from nowhere and take it for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's like the hidden power of SM, like the fact that they're even on the list.
Yeah,
and they've only been out like how many months or so.
I mean, speaking from like a perspective of like charts and stuff, Rise is definitely doing much better than Zero Base One.
Yeah,
in terms of the song. Yeah, itself.
And that's my thing, is like, is Mnet gonna give themselves an award for their group, or are they gonna actually give it to the best male artist?
We can't count on them to recognize the best of anything. Exactly. We're all just speculating on what are the business motivations going to lead us to here.
Yeah.
But Stephanie, what's your answer? Who do you think is going to win Best New Male?
Oh, man. I was kind of disappointed by the Zero Base One debut, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some real talent in there, but they didn't get a great song, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I have more enjoyed the releases from Psychers and Boy Next Door, to be honest. What? You're laughing?
Well, no, because it's like Psychers was supposed to be what Boys Next Door was, and then Boys Next Door...
but that's the joy of K-pop. You get both.
Right.
There's just something for everyone. I just think in terms of moving the genre forward, giving us something fresh, those two.
Yeah.
Like, hit that criteria for me. And if Rise or Zero Base One get it, it's going to be kind of, more of the same, the shoe-in nepotism candidate. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. I will also say, like, if you haven't checked out Even's debut, it's really good.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's Even, a really good song.
They're up there. Blit.
Haha.
Sorry. If just, you know, for people who don't know, like, that's what they originally called. So that's that group.
Lit. Oh, yeah. The Blit. Oh yes.
Blit. Yeah. Remember that?
They originally that.
They changed it. Thank God they changed it. Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's you know, the new Jellyfish group, which for me, with the decline of VIX and Very Very, I'm hoping that these guys can make it.
Yeah. I mean, they have the Boys Planet power behind them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's why for me, to be honest, my first guess was like Rise or Even. Like if Mnet wasn't going to give themselves an award.
I think, I'm going to go with Zero Base One for this one.
Okay. All right. Quickly then, best new female artist. We have Andia, right? Andia? L7Z.
Yeah, I'm letting y'all attempt these.
Kiss of Life, Limelight, and Triple S.
Where is 50/50? No, I'm just kidding.
Right? But that's the thing.
Yeah, that was the next big snub from this year.
50/50 should be on this list.
We see where Mnet stands. We get it. But yeah, like 50/50, if they were nominated, they would have been the front runner, the winner right from the start.
100%.
And I mean, it's interesting because like there a couple of fans were also mad that Lucemble, the Luna spinoff, did not get nominated for this either. And they are speculating once again, it's similar to the 50/50 situation where Lucemble is in a lawsuit right now. And so Mnet is just steering away from that. But right now, from this list itself, I think it's going to be Kiss of Life that takes it.
Right. That one makes the most sense. I feel like it's also a very safe pick. Mostly just like from what I've seen of the girls. Like I haven't dug too deep into all the other releases other than just like listening to the songs and like seeing the view count.
Yeah. I think my reasoning is that Kiss of Life has a lot of senior idols who have been around for a while. So like, I feel like maybe the judges, because judging the judges' criteria is a significant part of the winning or the winners. I feel like they would know who they are.
Right.
Just because of they have been around in the industry doing other things.
Even though they're technically like new female artists.
Yeah. They're kind of like IVE or, you know, like the members have been around and they've done other things. The other one is the L7Z Up because they are from Queendom Puzzle.
That's where they're from. Okay.
Yeah, which is another Mnet production.
So Mnet might just give themselves an award.
So it's kind of like this. I mean, that definitely has to factor in because it factored into Kepler winning some things.
Right.
And especially when they were up against like IVE and NewJeans and all these like mega big artists. So that definitely factors in to these winners.
Okay, Stephanie, do you have a guess for the winner? New female artist.
I hope it's Kiss of Life.
Right.
That would be really satisfying, actually. Maybe Triple S? I don't know. I don't know enough about the first two, Adia, L's Up. I'm just going to sit back and watch. I'm not too invested, but I would be kind of pleased if Kiss of Life took it.
Got it. Okay. Well, we'll tune in to was October 30th to 11.
How do we tune in?
I believe there are links somewhere.
There's links around on the interwebs, on the Mnet YouTube Mnet channel.
Yeah, Mnet Plus app probably.
Yeah,
go exactly. Vote.
Well, either way, while it is streaming, once you find where to watch it, and we'll probably share in the Slack, like join us in the K-pop cast Slack. We'll be talking about it. We'll be watching it. It'll kind of be like a watch party, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. Yeah. November 28th and 29th.
Oh, we do have to mention RM. He did not land any nominations this year.
Oh, what?
No nominations
for
him.
It's just Jimin and Jungkook.
Eek. And V.
And V.
Ouch.
I mean, okay, so out of
and
the seven.
And Suga.
And J-Hope.
Dang.
Out of
pretty much everyone who released something.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's,
oh,
I know.
RM. And he put out like a whole album. Oh, poor baby.
Low-key, the best one.
The best one, exactly.
He worked so hard on that.
I mean, that's
Four
another
years.
Thing with this award show is that the the nomination criteria for Artist of the Year, Song of the Year, and Album of the Year is a giant mess.
It is.
Because what they basically do is that all the nominees from all the other categories are automatically nominated for those three big, like, day songs, I guess, grand prizes. But there are certain albums that don't have, you know, singles, like Indigo by RM. Like, you are supposed to consume it as an album. Because Wildflower, the title track from the album, is the last song on the album.
Yeah.
You know? So because Wildflower is not nominated, because Wildflower doesn't fit rap, there is no rock category at Mama. Like, it's just an orphan. Indigo isn't nominated for Album of the Year, which it should be, because it's one of the best albums that it released this year. But yeah, I mean, that fandom is on fire right now. Because I think RM and Jin are the only ones who didn't get a nomination.
Oh, right. Did Jin have a solo this year?
Okay, so technically he does have The Astronaut.
Oh, okay. That was this year.
Which is eligible for this year's award shows.
Because it like barely fits in, right, it's with the timeline.
The, like the very early zone of...
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
No, it's okay.
At least RM's not alone in being snubbed.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because that would have been another...
And also, just look at the big picture. Like, the one year that BTS doesn't release something as a group, are you serious? All of the members get nominated for something? Come on.
On a technicality.
They fit BTS into the nominees as well.
What? Where?
They are nominated for Best OST.
Oh!
Nobody has heard that OST.
What is that?
Get out of here.
But they released a song called The Planet for
the Planet.
I think it's a cartoon show.
Bastion's OST.
And then they were nominated in Best Vocal Performance by a Group for Take Two, which was their anniversary song. And therefore, by default, they're nominated for Song of the Year, Artist of the Year, so on and so forth. I will be really pissed if they give it to BTS.
I know, like, especially for vocal performance, because like the other nominees are AKMU, B2B,
oh, please,
MC The Max,
so
and Mellow
strong
Mance.
Vocals,
right? Yeah.
That would be messed up. And I love BTS, man. This ain't it.
I can't imagine the B2B losing vocal performance to any other idol group at this point. Yeah.
There's too many songs on here for Song of the Year. We got to do some slash and burn here.
Hey, but
this is not serious.
You know what, though?
What?
All the way at the bottom, my boy Zero Park. He made it in.
Your boy. Your boy made it in.
Buzzer beater.
So happy that he was Zero Park.
I'm not a fan of the song, I'll be honest. It's not my favorite of the album, but I'm happy he's there.
Oh. Yeah, they had to sprinkle some spice.
That was a surprise single. That was a surprise nominee in the rap category.
Yeah. I'm happy for him. I'm going to vote for him if I can.
Zero Park and J Park. The two parks are there.
Yeah, J Park shouldn't be in there either. Sorry, not his best work.
It's okay. It's honest.
Anyways.
Okay, cool. Anything else about Wamba before we wrap up this section?
No, thanks for doing that analysis, bringing it to the community.
Yeah, because to be honest, I've been so jaded about the Mama Awards for the past like 3 years. Like, I'm so happy that you're bringing this like energy to it. Now I'm like invested.
I mean, I'm going to watch, but like, you know, basically kind of a hate watch at this point.
I mean, every single year I'm like, oh, Mama sucks. But then I tune in every time.
Exactly. They still get our views, our eyeballs.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, I watch it for the performances because Mnet, one thing Mnet does good is they bring the production.
That is true. They've got that money.
And I give them kudos for that. So, and I mean, we know like Stray Kids going to be there. 17's probably going to be there. So we're going to get like...
And that's the difference from last year, right? Where they had like split it up between multiple locations, right? This year, it's just one.
Is it... All on one day?
Tokyo Dome. He said the 28th and 29th.
Oh, never mind.
Slightly split.
Okay, so it's still slightly split.
Only 2 days, not three.
Oh my God, I remember there was one year they did it for 3 days, consecutive days. It was like, oh, no. Each ceremony was like 8 hours long. I'm like,
what ain't nobody got time for that.
Nope.
It was so bad. And I had to watch it because like they split like EXO's performance on 3 days.
You had to watch it. That's why they did it. Listen.
They had EXO CBX performance one day and then EXO performed the next day. And they also had Chanyeol perform on the third day.
Oh. Like,
seriously?
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. You got to make the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Chanyeol, moving on to our rapid fire debunk or not section, we're going to just kick it off with a few other comebacks from this week that we have thoughts about. I think I'm going to skip number one really quick. We'll come back to it, but starting with Chanyeol's latest solo single, Good Enough. Are we debunk or not on this track, guys?
I am so debunk.
Same.
It's it not so cute.
Not good enough for me. Sorry.
No.
I mean, that joke was just waiting for me. Oh, but okay. I'm glad you like it.
I mean, I enjoyed it because first we got to see multiple EXO members come together. Mm. It's almost like, you know, those rare sightings of like Spice Girls, like members don't come together anymore. But yeah, like the music video featured Dio, Baekhyun, Chen, and alongside Chanyeol. And yeah, I liked it. It's a cute song.
It was cute. Yeah, I admit it.
I felt attacked by it a little bit because it
the lyrics are very
yeah. It's probably the most relatable, so relatable. Chanyeol song that I've like. It's like I feel like before with his singles, like he's tried to seem really cool. But now he's like, okay, I'm not that cool. I'm actually just like a dork who likes to chill inside. And like, I need my friends to get me out, to come outside.
That is adorable.
Like when I was watching the music video and like he was doing his like, you know, he was bored. He was just hanging around. Mm-hmm. Then Chen comes along and he like fixes his things and whatnot. And he drags him out. But then Chanyeol's energy is contagious. So Chen becomes an introvert as well. Mm-hmm. Now you need Dio to come in and like pull both of them out. So it's like, this is very much like, it's very relatable.
Yeah. And then I love, I timestamped it at the 2:28 mark where Baekhyun comes in and then Dio leaves, which for me is like very, it was hard to watch a little bit because we just found out that Dio has left SM. Like that's the other headline for this week was like he's joining a new like agency under like what was it under one of his managers. Yeah, so it was like too soon. and then Chen and Baekhyun both look at each other like what the heck.
Yeah, we could have had that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
especially Baekhyun, right?
Yeah. that's what people were talking about because Baekhyun tried to do it and everyone gave him flack for it.
Yep.
But with Dio's situation happening and Chanyeol and Sehun also rumored to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
We found out that basically to do any sort of solo promotions, they need to make a different company. Like they cannot promote it under SM anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was so interesting that those were the members that showed up. It was kind of like, it reminded me of like when we found out that like Joy and Crush were dating, and then we go back to that music video where it's like just them.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, the Mayday video.
I wonder what other hidden messages are in this music video. But yes, it's a debunk for me.
Woo.
Yes. So that was actually our number two. Going back to our number one comeback from this week, we have a young posse with Macaroni and Cheese. Debunk? But I don't know. I feel like I've been corrupted by all the people coming in and like making me think harder than I needed to about it.
What? How so?
So they, you know, the innuendo of, especially in hip hop, of mac and cheese being related to female parts.
What?
Similar to New Jeans and Cookie kind of.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, I must be out of the loop. I ain't heard that.
Yeah, that's what people have been talking about, how it's like because they have that reference for that the use of macaroni and cheese or at least mac and cheese in other, especially in the hip hop context, like what was it, the Nicki, not Nicki. ooh, I shouldn't say it. Cardi B, the Cardi B song, the WAP. Like, that's a line, a very, very iconic line really? From WAP. Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I want to just like love this as a cute food song, because we had a lot of cute food songs this year. And I'm like, I have a playlist of like my K-pop snack bar, which is like
snack bar.
Yeah, it's like NCT pretzel and then like Red Velvet sundae. Like,
gotta have bacon candy in there.
Candy. Like, yeah, I just it's just a cute food song. Right. Let's not read too much into it.
Yeah.
It is a weird debut though for a new group. I will say it's an interesting concept in the music video.
It's a pretty good beat, I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm. But I believe the members do have credits on the music. It's because, you know, this is an FNC group. You know, they do pride themselves on like having bands, having actual artists who produce. So it'd be really interesting to see what they
Where are they from?
FNC. So like technically they're the sister, aren't they?
No, they're DSP.
DSP.
Oh, DSP. Shoot. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are from the Card umbrella.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Oh, now we know.
Yeah. Kara? Kara was in there.
With Kara.
You know what? Mm-hmm. You know what? The great restructuring got me all messed up.
So this is under DSP.
Technically, DSP is under Rainbow RBW. Bridge World. Yep. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Oh, no
now
problem.
In that context, this comeback makes a little more sense.
Yeah. I am conflicted about this one because as you said, like the lyrics and stuff, which is interesting because like if an adult wrote it, then I would be like, okay, it's definitely that. But at the same time, 4 out of the 5 lyricists on the song are the members.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it is just about mac and cheese.
I really think so, you guys.
Mac and cheese is good.
I think it's one of those. I think it's one of those K-pop songs where there's like a random word generator and they use it, and then that becomes the title of the next song. I honestly think that that's what labels are doing these days, because the English titles are just out of this world.
Yeah. I mean, I think macaroni and cheese, like people don't have an issue with macaroni and cheese. I think people had issues with a couple of lyrics within like the verses where they in like the innuendo is like mac and cheese being sticky and like those kind of things. People were just a little bit like taken aback by that. And so, yeah, I mean the lyrics and the song itself is a little bit like this was supposed to be a debut.
Right.
Like, this is not a pre-debut. This is not a pre-release single or whatever.
It does feel like a pre-debut song.
It does feel like a pre-debut song. And so, but I will give them kudos for the music video. That is one hell of a creative music video.
So many VFX shots.
It is really well done. You know how like we made fun of K-pop from like second gen, how like they are dancing inside a microwave or inside like a...
the same box.
What was it? Like the thing? Yeah. And this is literally that. Like they are literally dancing inside a microwave. Like they're not being shy about it. Like they are dancing inside a microwave while there is mac and cheese floating around.
Right. Like I said, it's silly. It's cute. I like it.
And it's directed by a Grammy-nominated music video director who has worked with like lots of Western pop artists.
Wow.
So there was definitely a vision over there.
Stephanie, where are you on this?
Mac and cheese. I'll give him a light daybok.
Okay.
You know, I support it and I don't think we should read too much into it.
Okay. So our next comeback, technically this is another NCT unit. NCT new team with their debut Hands Up, which is technically a J-pop music video now that I think about it, but they are under the NCT umbrella. I'm daybok on this, although the music video makes me it's so silly because it's like all of these like green orbs coming and like attacking these boys, which makes me feel like it's like the NCT Neo culture technology essence is coming to abduct them and to bring them onto the NCT hive mind.
That's very sinister.
I just that's how I see it. Like it is cute. It also reminds me of this drama, the High School Nurse, where it's like these spirits are like,
I've seen
like
that one.
They're all these like jelly creatures. It's like a bunch of like green jelly that they're like fighting against.
Yeah, I am not Daybug on this one.
Okay,
I was like, please, someone be not with me.
I don't know. I'm tired of the NCT ping now. Like, I love NCT 127, Dream, Wavy. Like, I love those guys. But I'm just like, they are doing it. I don't need more guys to do the same thing. Like,
okay.
You know, like, I love Fact Check. Like, that was a bop. NCT Dream has been making bops. But that's their sound. Like, let's move on. Like, Rise, the one thing that attracted me to Rise with their debut song, Get a Guitar, was like, it's different. It is different. It's something new. It's something fresh from SM. NCT new team feels like we're just taking a step back.
Okay. Yeah, I think
chronologically,
you said it.
It's like, just like, we're going back to the NCT thing. Like, we need to move forward.
Yes, honestly, I skipped through this. Once I heard the sound, I was like, okay, I know what this is.
Yeah.
They look good, though. They're cute.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So not
I don't know.
For you,
yeah,
Stephanie.
What about you, Michaela? Yeah, not for me.
Okay. I know this is Daybok. Like, I am all for the infinite NCT multiplication.
Infinite
multiplication.
You haven't seen enough of it. You're not tired of it yet.
No, because again, it's like they're kind of the first group to like really make that kind of system work in K-pop. Mm. Like, so I'm like, I still hold out for it because it's like having an actual group with a possible graduation system, I feel like is a healthier approach to groups where it's like you bring in new guys so they can start their careers and the older guys have a chance to like go live their lives.
Mm. You know what I will say though? It would have been interesting if, remember when NCT 127 released Regular?
Mm-hmm.
And then Wavy, when they debuted, they released Regular, Mandarin
the Chinese version.
It would have been interesting if they did made that thing like a debut thing with like a regular for like a Japanese version.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like that's going to be like one of those. I feel like they're keeping that in the pocket for one of those like giant NCT comebacks that they do. Yeah. Like maybe that might be on like NCT 2025.
But also maybe these guys are too young to be like singing
about
regular.
They're kids. They're teenagers.
Yeah. Vivi was grown up.
Mm-hmm. VVS my diamonds. No, you boy, sit down. Okay, so our next song for this is Sunmi's comeback with Stranger.
Daybok all the way.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Kind of similar to what you said about NCT. This does not feel fresh Sunmi to me. Mm. It feels like a redo.
Like, 2 seconds, I was like Daybok, and then the rest of this, and then it went back to the original Sunmi, and I was like, oh, okay, no, I'm sorry. This isn't like. That vibe in like that first 2 seconds that you hear throughout is the song that I wish it was, but it's not.
Mm, yeah.
And I can't force it be the song that I want it to be.
Yeah.
But I love seeing more Sunmi.
I mean, a lot of people were thrown off by the switch up, and like not just mm-hmm. one switch up, it was like two different switch ups and like three different songs. I just think like the song, the hook is very catchy. Like it gets stuck in
so
your head.
So catchy.
Like Mr. Stranger, like that part, yeah. Like it gets stuck in your head. So, and also the music video itself was just like amazing. So it's Daybok for me in that sense. But yeah, it's the sound and the song overall.
Yeah.
She has had better ones.
And it almost makes me feel like maybe there's like some deeper, like extra meaning to like why the song is this way that I'm just not getting. Like how she did with Noir, where it's like there's like a bunch of like artistic vision in what she's doing, but it's like it's
okay.
You know,
here's a theory. In the music video, you see like she is creating another self of herself, almost like a Frankenstein. And the choppiness of the song is a reflection of that. Like, because people are talking about like how there are like three different songs in one. Mm-hmm. And all those three different songs are sounds that are known, like Sunmi sounds, like Sunmi has done sounds like that. So it's like an amalgamation of her different identities into one. Mm. And the Mr. Stranger, people are saying that she is the Mr. Stranger part, but that's, that's just a theory.
Oh, okay.
But maybe some songs just don't need to be, you know, theorized. Like mac and cheese, like, okay.
Yeah, we don't need to go deep on that.
Not every K-pop song needs to have a deep meaning.
Yeah, so our next comeback is Jay Chang with Rockstar. Like he says Chang in the music video, so I'm like, okay. I don't know how to pronounce it. But then it's also like the Australian Sam who's saying it. So
I think it's Chang. Because I don't think he's Korean.
What?
Yeah.
I watched that whole show.
Wait. Stephanie.
Anyways.
Well, his Wikipedia page says he's an American singer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so Jay Chang.
He's not like half. What do we say?
He's from New Jersey.
You're saying he's straight white?
Trivia. His father is Hungarian-Irish and his mother is Filipino-Chinese. He is not Korean.
The Chang is Chinese.
Yeah.
Well, shoot. Learn something new every day.
I guess he's like Bam Bam. Where he's not Korean, but he's making K-pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, plenty of people are doing it.
Yeah, but this is also a solo release right before he is about to debut in the group One Pact.
Yes.
So I don't know if the song is Daebak, because again, it's just more of like the sound that I expected from him, especially like watching him on Boys Planet and like hearing what he was the songs that he was using to audition with. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting as a solo debut right before he goes into a group. Like it makes me wonder what the group sound is going to be.
Mm.
Even more.
Yeah, I love it. It's Daebak for me. I was more familiar with his like sort of acoustic guitar ballad style, which he has released a couple of singles like that before. This whole EP is very pop and very like synth pop, rock pop, pop rock. So yeah, I loved it. The music video, he was very charming in the music video. I think that's his appeal for fans as well. Like he's very charismatic.
Yeah, it's a great again for maybe people who hadn't seen him on the other Survivor shows he was on. Maybe people will come to get to know him, and it's an extra little boost for like his debut in the group.
Yeah, but it's interesting because as you said, like this was marketed as his solo debut.
Yeah,
right before like. I'm not even kidding. Like the album was dropped and the next day he was announced as a member.
Yeah, it was his teaser photo as like part of the group.
Yeah, which was very surprising because the other group that was debuting, people were not expecting Jay Chang to be in it.
Nope.
Because it has other members from Boys
Planet. I mean,
that's
pretty good marketing, honestly. But,
yeah. And this group, One Pact, they have members, former members from TO1 and Cypher. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Two very controversial groups.
Yes.
Poor Cypher. It was Daebak for me. I thought Jay showed off his strong vocals, and like it was this style really suits Jay. So Daebak for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so then wrapping up this comeback session, are we Daebak or not on Ailee's comeback? The queen. With Ratata featuring Lil Cherry.
I am Daebak on it. The music video was really fun.
Yeah.
A lot. There was a lot going on in the music video.
Mm-hmm.
It had drag queens. The male lead was really good looking.
He was.
I love the male leads in all of her music videos.
Mm-hmm. She has good taste.
Actually, it was kind of interesting when I was watching the music video. I got so distracted by the music video that I had to go back and listen to the song separately.
The visual was like, too intense.
I was like,
completely cut out audio.
Exactly. <Yo. laughs> I was like, wait, let me listen to the song itself if it sounds good. But yeah, I liked it.
Mm-hmm. I'm also Daebak for similar reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The quality of the music video pushes me over into slight Daebak category. Mm-hmm. I think that the music itself, it didn't quite grab me. I'm not going to add it to my playlist. But, you know, it's good to see her. And the video is entertaining. Male lead, hot stuff.
Right. Okay. So I guess we'll go again. We'll quick rapid fire with the rest of these Daebak or not headlines. So are we Daebak or not on this lineup that we have for Jungkook's debut album, Golden? I'm not, I'll be honest.
I haven't been vibing with his solo stuff so far. I'm sorry. So maybe the B-sides, maybe there will be an emotional song in there somewhere. Maybe it will be good. I don't know. So far, he has a song with Major Lazer.
Yeah, he's really trying to be a Western pop boy. And, you know, I'm here for his dream, but it's not what I would have picked for him.
Exactly. Like, I want his more emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a demo called Dicklomania.
Oh, yeah,
that one. Mm-hmm. And that demo is like, it's so good. I'm like, just drop it somewhere.
Right.
But yeah, I want more stuff like that from him. But it's also interesting, like, there are only like 3 female songwriters on this album. Which is no shade, but okay.
Well, we'll see.
One of them is Lato. One of them is the featured artist on the song. So
right.
Yeah, she might have just wrote her stuff.
Yeah, which to be honest, like her song is probably the one I'll enjoy the most out of all of them. All the others, I'm just not as interested.
It's interesting that the producers behind Dynamite are on this album, though. The two songwriters, David and Jessica, are on this album.
That makes me less excited. Mm-hmm. I'm a Dynamite hater through and through.
Yeah, but...
I feel similarly that it's kind of not. It just kind of shows that he is still like striving for that white Western approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's not a good look for me. Like you are so much more than that. You have so much potential.
Yeah. And I've only like seen like little bits of this on Twitter. So I haven't been able to watch the official thing, but he did like write an interview where he was talking about like of the artists out right now who could really do a proper crossover, he feels like it's him. Like to really bring, to be that Asian artist that makes it to number one in the Western markets.
I mean, for me, it's like Seven, for example, was nominated for Song of the Summer at the VMAs and it ended up winning, I think. And I was like, was it really the song of the summer? Was it a radio hit? Or was it because the fans voted for it and it became the song of the summer?
And yeah, so, it did win. I just checked.
Yeah. So it's like, because I don't hear him on the radio. I
haven't heard him yet. Yeah.
I don't hear Seven. I haven't heard 3D, even though Jack Harlow is on it, which is a very popular artist on the radio. I haven't heard his stuff. So I'm just like, is the crossover happening because he's becoming a pop radio artist?
Or
happening because the fans are pushing for it?
I'm looking at the nominees here. We have What It Is. We have Cuff It. We have Cupid. Are you kidding me? That Seven beat those? Sorry, this is a wrap. Nah, man.
Okay. So we're not feeling this album, but comeback.
I'll listen to it.
We are feeling right. Is Taemin's upcoming comeback right with Guilty? We saw the mood clips and the photos, teaser photos come out. He's, you know, showing off his belly button. He's in the desert, so we know it's going to be sexy R&B.
Yeah.
If Drip Drop is any indication.
I need to hear something before I can say anything. Cause
no, really?
I don't know. Okay, photos can be deceptive.
Before, I don't even need to hear it. It's Daebak. I'll just say that.
Okay.
I'm excited. And it's been his first comeback in over 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I got that big teaser when I saw him at KCON do his solo performances. So I was okay, I can't wait to see him after post-military service, like what he's bringing in.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so we're all Daebak for Taemin's Guilty.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we haven't heard it yet.
I just saw the photos.
That's all you needed.
He has brown hair. He's looking casual, LA, California boy. There's a little like smooth R&B vibe just coming through. We'll see what happens. I would be fine with a Drip Drop, Press Your Number round two. I'm here for it. I'm here for whatever he's going to give, honestly.
Right, because we were just saying before the show, like this is his break from his like dark, sexy persona to his just
and
like...
And he's super like buttoned up, dressed up. Like, yeah, just relax, Taemin, you know, kick your shoes off. Let your hair down.
Twerk a little.
Hey. Yes. Okay. Coming down to Kingdom. What's happening?
Yeah, so Kingdom has been in the news recently for their recent comeback, coup d'etat, because of cultural appropriation. The packaging of the album has been compared to or says it resembles the Quran, like the religious text of Islam. And so fans were like, no. And then they scrapped, 20,000, 70,000
copies? 70,000
copies. And reprinted them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sayed, I know you had some thoughts about this.
So obviously, like, I am Muslim.
As
but
our
I
resident
can't...
Muslim correspondent. Sorry.
But obviously, like, I can't speak for all Muslims, but... Mm-hmm. The packaging itself, yes, it did resemble the Quran. The typical cover art for Quran, it resembled that. But it mostly was a Persian style of decoration. The way the spine was designed, the way the borders were done, it's more of a Persian thing. Which is obviously Islam has roots in Persia. So Quran has taken from that, but there are a lot more other books who also have that same style. Mm-hmm. So I personally didn't find any issue with it, but obviously a lot of fans did. So they ended up scrapping 70,000 copies, which is a big deal because Kingdom is not a big group, from a big company. And so, I mean, kudos to them for, like, you know, taking this seriously and, like, taking action instead of just, you know, saying, oh, well, we can't do anything about this. But yeah, I mean, I didn't find it as a cultural appropriation. A lot of people got mad about it, but I think it's more nuanced than just, like, a very, like, straightforward cultural appropriation moment in K-pop.
Yeah, that's why it's like it's I guess it is a Daebak for me on that sense of like companies like listening to fans and trying to be accountable for the things that they're doing. Yes. But
it's also like, I mean, when their lineup was announced at debut, Jahan, who's the member who's the focus of this album, he's inspired by a Muslim ruler in India. And so everyone was a little bit skeptical about this one because it could have gone, you know, it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Especially with how Desi culture is usually appropriated in K-pop. Mm-hmm. We've seen this with Blackpink and like a whole bunch of other artists. But surprisingly, they did a really good job of incorporating the Indian culture into their comeback. So they shot the music video in India. They had performed in India, which I was surprised to see. Mm. They performed at this Korea-India diplomatic conference or whatever, which was cool. And they stayed there. They shot their music video. They did promotions there. So it wasn't just like, oh, we're going to take a piece of a culture and, you know, use it for our aesthetic. And yeah, I mean, like the song itself is really good. So I don't have any issues with it.
Yeah. Thank you for that insight. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing the nuance there. Yeah. I think overall, Daebak on, just like Michaela said, company mm-hmm. listening to the fans calling them out. And yeah, hopefully they do better in the future, learn more. I saw the image of the album. I just laughed. I was like, that's totally the Quran.
I mean, it's very very uncanny. Like they did not try.
Come on, man. That's just obvious. Yeah. Yeah. And you can just imagine what they're thinking. Like, ooh, yeah, that's so like artistic. That's so
It's like so exotic.
Exotic. Yeah. Exotic is the word. Yeah. 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 They're just like, ooh, it's so
not,
cool.
Not exotic.
Yeah.
I always think gotta like, get away from that. Fans, like, think K-pop artists and companies always think like, oh my God, it's so exotic whenever they try something like that.
All right. Yeah. Last news item.
Yeah. Wrapping it up with some lighter merch. Matthew from Card and Pablo from Epic High have hinted at new light sticks. Though this is not apparently for BM. It's not a Card light stick. It's for his BTG brand, aka Big Titty Gang. So to describe the little image that he teased, it's just like what seems to be like a black handle of a light stick with like a clear sparkly dome and then like a pink inside and there's BTG on the side.
Yeah.
So are we Daebak or not on this light stick? Right, because it could just be like a pink titty.
Pecs.
I'm going to be a not on this only because Card does not have a light stick yet.
Yeah, hold up.
And as a multi fan who told my I told myself I was never going to buy any light sticks because again I love too many groups. The only light stick I will ever buy is Card's light stick. I don't know. It feels so silly to be buying this first before Card.
You might have to get this one.
Right? I feel like this is what it's going to be.
Also, like, Card has toured so much. Like, why don't they not have a light stick?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not on this, unfortunately.
Come on, come through, budget.
I am Daebak for a completely different reason.
Tell us.
So his interaction... A tangent of these new light sticks have been their interaction with Woosung from The Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Best bro.
Which I am living for, and Twitter was living for it as well.
Right.
So basically, if you don't know what happened was, moving on to, I guess, Epic High's light stick, when Tableau announced that they are going to do a light stick, Woosung replied to the tweet saying like he would like to exchange his light stick for the Rose one. Like, I give you the Rose, you give me the Epic High one. Mm-hmm. Then a couple of days later, I guess, BM announced his light stick and Woosung did the same thing under his tweet saying that I would give you the Rose light stick. I want the Big Titty Gang light stick. And he posted a couple of photos saying that I think I qualify.
Right.
Which were photos of him showing off. BM replied with, I want your other stick.
Oh my God.
No, he didn't.
Oh my God. But like, This is the first instance of this, though, Stephanie. Like, they've done Instagram lives where they've just straight up flirted with each other for 20 minutes. Totally. And it's all that.
Yeah. And so Woo-sung replied with the shy emoji, like the blushing emoji with it. And in light of all of this, his past comments on BM's Insta posts have been brought to light.
In light of this. Brought to light, yeah. K-pop investigative journalists.
I found one of them where it was like BM posted on Insta and it was like shirtless. And he said in the caption of his post was, "What's your ETA?" And Woo-sung replied with, "Be there in 20 minutes. So I'm like, you guys are being too sus right now, okay?
Right.
Ow, ow.
Oh my gosh.
All right, that makes me extra Daebak on this.
On the BTG light stick.
Totally.
Okay. And then and the last thing though, the epic high one. So to describe it, it's like it's a Mickey Mouse hand.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Bird
with like a black handle.
Big old middle finger to the haters.
I'm a nut on this. Like, I agree. It's not offensive enough.
It's not offensive enough.
It's too cute. Like, I need the energy of like, you know, that cat. That flipping people off. That like I think like Suga has that as like a mat in his like. I need more that and more like sassy. This is just too cute.
Yeah. But Tabo did say that this is like game changing for K-pop.
Yeah, for K-pop, this is edgy.
A middle finger.
Like, I don't think K-pop fully comprehends like where Epic High is at, like ideologically and what they're actually talking about.
Yeah. My thing is, like, would the whole hand light up, or is it just the middle finger lighting?
You'll have to buy one to find out.
They have different settings.
Yep.
You know, like, maybe it's, like, the whole thing, and then for, like, the hard songs, like,
it'll just flash the finger.
The finger.
Or, like the fingers can move, so, like, you can maybe make it, like, a peace sign instead.
Maybe.
I don't think Tablo would want that. Nah. He is not going to give that kind of flexibility.
Just middle finger up and down, up and down. That's all I see.
Okay.
That was amazing.
Wait, so Stephanie, are you Daebak?
Yeah, I said Daebak.
Okay. Inside Daebak?
Yeah, I'm Daebak on this.
Okay, cool. All right, so that wraps up our episode, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Please let our listeners know where they can find you on all the socials.
You can find me at sparker2 on Twitter.
You can follow us at Genius Korea on Twitter, which is genius_KOR, or on Instagram at genius.korea. We also have a TikTok.
Oh, but, TikTok.
Yeah, we're just launching it.
Oh, let me follow you right quick.
Yeah. You can follow me at Michaela J K-pop on Twitter, and you can find all of us at the K-pop cast, and also our Slack is in the episode description. All right, bye everybody. Mr. Stranger, running into danger, gotta get to know ya.